Today marks the release of Jackie Robinson's biographical film, 42. The movie chronicles Robinson's life and showcases his career as the first African-American in baseball, breaking the color barrier in 1947. Former Brooklyn Dodgers pitcher and teammate of Robinson, Carl Erskine, reminisced about his playing days with the illustrious Jackie Robinson. Erskine first met Robinson in 1948 in Fort Worth, Texas, at a minor league game. 65 years later, the 86-year-old still recalls that moment when Robinson walked over to his dugout to shake his hand.
Came over to the dugout. I didn't know Jackie. He asked for me by name, and when I stepped out of the dugout, he shook my hand. He said, "Young man, I hit against you twice today. You're not going to be in this league very long." And in a couple of months, I was called to the Dodgers, and Jackie was the first guy to my locker to say, "I told you, you couldn't miss."
Erskine says that interaction with Robinson was the start of a lifelong friendship with the superstar. But not all of the Dodgers felt that comfortable having Robinson as a teammate. Two players in particular, Bobby Bregan and Dixie Walker, weren't fond of Robinson. Dodgers manager Leo Durocher told his team he didn't care about the color of Robinson's skin as long as he could play ball, and that he did.
It's well known that Mr. Rickey had Leo talk to the team, and Leo made statements like this: "I don't care if this guy is yellow, green, or striped like a zebra. If he can play ball, he's going to play on this team."
Walker and Bregan, both raised in Alabama, grew up thinking whites were superior to blacks. But once they realized how great of a person Robinson was, they grew to respect him.
They were raised that a black does not play on a white team or vice versa. So originally, they objected. But as brought out in part of the film, as soon as they got to know Jackie, see him play, understood what a human being he was, they both rescinded.
Unfortunately, not all of America grew to respect Robinson. When the Dodgers traveled to Atlanta in 1949, Robinson's life was threatened. Someone sent him a letter saying he would be killed if he were to take the field. Last year, Erskine traveled back to Atlanta and saw a statue of another great African-American baseball player, Hank Aaron. It was then when he realized how far this country has come.
Jackie got a threatening letter: "You'll be killed if you take the field." Ku Klux Klan picked at our hotel, 1949. In 2012, I came by the stadium, Turner Field. There's a statue of Hank Aaron, who's held in the highest esteem as an individual, a player, a Hall of Famer. The same city that refused to have a black in the stands in 1949. Now that is a leap forward.
Erskine is saddened, however, that Robinson couldn't get to see the progress this nation has made. Robinson died in 1972 when he was 53 years old.
Jackie, I'm sorry, is not here to see that we have mayors of cities, congressmen and women of color, president of the United States. Jackie needed to see that. I'm so sorry. He died young at the age of probably 52 or 3.
Red Barber, the former Brooklyn Dodgers broadcaster and UF alum, says Jackie Robinson was the catalyst for the integration of African-American athletes.
I think it's time that another generation, and maybe an older generation, remembers that there was a price that was paid. We see black athletes everywhere. When I came to the University of Florida in 1928, if you had told me, or anyone had told me, that the Florida Gators would have black football players, couldn't have believed it. No way.
Even though Robinson was a great baseball player, his role in the game and his place in history was much bigger than any statistic he could ever attain.
Jackie had the fire in his belly not only to be a good player, but he was smart enough. Jackie was very intelligent. He understood that his role was a lot more than being a good ball player.
To honor Jackie Robinson, Major League Baseball retired the number 42 on the 50th anniversary of Robinson breaking the color barrier. Although he may have left this world at an early age, his legacy will live on forever. For ESPN Radio 850-900, I'm Chris Kirshner.